Message 4 of the Bangkok Conference 2023 on the manifestation of eternal life. Verses are 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, chapter 5, verse 19, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 19, and chapter 14, verse 30, and also James chapter 1, verse 27, and chapter 4, verse 4.
Yes.
Dear Father, according to the prayer of Paul, we do need the spirit of spirit and revelation, a spirit with understanding, so that we can understand you more, so that we can also know your will. Do continue to speak to us through the first epistle of John. Amen. Let's take a look at the outline. Roman numeral 3. Do not love the world. I believe you all are familiar with this. In 1 John chapter 2, we have just read, do not love the world. Do not love the world. Of all the ones seated here, who dares to say he does not love the world? Do you love the world? No one dares to say anything. But the Lord's word says, do not love the world. How can you not love the world? Right? The eternal life that God has given to us, that's the life of God. Scripture says that those who are born do not love the world. But if we live in our flesh, that's the life of the flesh, definitely loves the world. It's impossible not to love the world. But if we experience living in the spirit and living in this life, it is normal for us not to love the world. But many Christians do not live in the spirit. So they live in their natural life, so they just love the world. Just like children have many toys. Do not think that that's a toy. That's the world. Children. From the time they're very young, you train them. When you go to a shop, you go into the shopping mall, and you take children, and then when the children see things, you say, oh, I want this and I want that, right? Isn't your children like that? They want everything. From the time they were very young, after they're born, they know to say, I want this and I want that. I really sympathize with parents. Oh, I want this, I want that. And so this dear brother here says, fine, 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 I'll get it. From the time we're very young, we were trained, or actually we were nourished to love the world. Do not think that only children love the world. We too. Don't you love the world? But you don't love toys, what you love. What do you love? You know for yourselves. I don't need to say it. But we love are bigger things, more expensive things. Right? We have loved many, many things. Here it tells us, do not love the world. Meaning to say, Christians also love the world. Don't say, it's because I'm a Christian, I don't love the world. But do not think that, oh, to love the world is a very common thing. There's no problem with that. It's very serious. Here it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. That means to say, there are many things in the world. Do you have a phone? If it's last year's model, you'll say, that's not good enough. I want this year's model. I want the new one. Don't use the old one. The camera on the old one is not so good. The new one is the best. Are you using the new one or the old one? The king says, the old one. He doesn't love the world. But many brothers, especially the young people, and they leave the old one. I want the newest model.
Samsung.
I don't want Samsung anymore. I want the Apple. Isn't it so? We're all like this. But John says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This point is very important. Now you stand before a choice. Are you going to choose the world? Or do you want to choose a heart that loves the Lord? He loves the Father. These two are contrary to each other. You cannot say, I love the world, but I also love God. That's a lie. You're deceiving yourself. You have to be very absolute. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. These two matters cannot coexist in your heart. It's truly impossible. Do not think, oh, I love the world, but I also love the Father. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said that you cannot serve two masters. This is what the Lord Jesus said. You cannot serve mammon and also serve God. And what should you do? It doesn't mean to say you go to work and you don't need any money. Love means that love has taken hold of your heart. Then you are greedy. Do not forget. Paul said, covetousness is idolatry. Today's idolatry, the idol, is not that figure with a big tummy. That's also an idol. But today's idol is very thin, very small. And there's a number on there. This is our idol. Be careful. Young people, do not think this is not important. Covetousness is idol. Did Paul say? The love of money is the source of all trouble. It doesn't mean to say to have money, but to love money. Do not think that if you don't have money, you don't love it. If you don't have money, you will love it even more. I don't know how it is here. You think that only the rich people love money and the poor people don't love money? Isn't that the case? Isn't that what you think? Do you have money? Yes. Oh, now he says he doesn't. Oh, Brother Lin, you have money, but do you love money? That's another world. I also know some very rich people, but they do not love money. But it's not only that the poor people without money, that they love money. It's not a matter of you have it or have not, but it's a matter of your heart. Do not think this is a small thing. Because if you love the world, it's a serious matter, because the love of the Father is not in you. Now, I hope that the brothers and sisters would not just read the word, but touch the severity of God's word. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't mean that you don't believe in the Lord anymore. You still pray, Our Father who art in heaven. But after you pray, if you pray and you go love the world, then your prayer is not any good to you. So it is a serious thing. Do not think that loving the world is not a serious thing. John also said, for all that is in the world, you would say, would it be like cars? Or your company, or your bank account, the money in your bank account? Is that what he said? No. He didn't say that. What does it say? He said, it's the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. Tell me, is the world outside of you or inside of you? If it's not within your flesh, even if you see it, it will not affect you. How come when we see something and immediately we are attracted to it, it's like magnet. Once you see it, you're drawn to it and you want that thing. And then when you go home, you think about it and you want it. Isn't it like this, young people? Whatever you see, immediately the temptation comes within you that you want that thing. Then you want to go make money in order to buy that thing. And of course, the people in the world even steal money in order to buy. Much worse, you just go steal or rob, take that thing. You know, now in the U.S., it's very dreadful. I like that thing. I'll just take a bag along and go into the store and take it out with me. If you steal anything under $1,000, it's okay. But if you enter into the store 10 times and you steal something less than $1,000, after 1 hour you go back into the store and take another $1,000 worth, less than $1,000 worth of things, it's considered a misdemeanor. You can migrate to the U.S. So if you go to San Francisco or you go to Los Angeles, many stores have been closed. They cannot survive. So, do you want to migrate to the U.S.? It's quite dreadful. The world is going downhill. We'll talk about it some more this evening. But today, this morning, there's a very important point. Do not love the world. Do not be greedy. Do not be covetousness. Do not be covetous. And do not worship idols. Let's go back to the word. Oh, Lord. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you have something, you get very proud. Look, my phone is more advanced than yours. I have it, you don't. What I have is better than what you have. Then you get proud. This is the flesh. That's the sickness that's in us, that sin that dwells in us. The Bible says sin entered into us. What is sin? Sin is the devil's, the life of the devil. There are two trees. If the tree of life is the life of God, then the other tree, the knowledge of good and evil, whose life is in there? The two trees both have life. One tree is the life of God. The other tree is sin, life of sin. It's the devil's life. Once it comes into us, Paul says, I don't want to do this, something bad, but yet I do it. That is why he said, it is not I, but sin that is in me. So, brothers and sisters, you need to understand. Do not think that if I did something wrong and I sinned, that nothing happens, especially the young people. Now we continue to read. He said, all these is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, this world, the entire world, lies in the hand of the evil one. So if you love the world, if you love the world, you fall right into his hand. Satan is very smart. He uses many beautiful things to tempt you. And once you buy it, you fall right into his hand. Do you want to live in the hand of the devil? The young people over there, do you want to lie in the hands of the Satan and just go sleep there and you feel very comfortable there? Do not think that it's not comfortable there. The things of the world are very good to you, so you just rest right there and you have your sweet dreams right there. The entire world is held in his hand. The devil knows exactly what you like. You like music? He has a musical world, the world of music for you. You like sports? There are all kinds of sports. And all your time is devoted to these things. And what is the Father going to do? Yeah, our Heavenly Father is waiting for you, and you tell him, sorry, I'm going to go play ball. Whatever you like, he has. If you love God, you like love God, then he creates a religion for you. That is also the world. That also belongs to him. After sin entered into you, there's no way for you to run away. The only way is for you to let the life of God, for the Holy Spirit to enter into you. Then you can be saved. That is why John tells us, he who is born of God does not love the world. Now, within our spirit, there's another life that does not love the world, but it's a life that loves God. But the problem is, what are you going to choose? You've got two options in front of you. One is in your flesh, and the life of God is in your spirit. Now there's conflict within you. What are you going to do? You have to choose God. Oh, who are you going to choose? is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They had to choose. Today, you have to choose also. You have to make your choice today. Many people make the wrong choice. There are many beautiful things in the world, but even if you love the Lord, there are also many things for you to choose. Well, right today, there are so many religions there. Not only Buddhism, Islam, or whatever. But there's also a lot in Christianity. So how are you going to choose? Which one are you going to choose? What if you make the wrong choice? So brothers and sisters, we need to know the life that indwells us. To exercise living in this life. John also says, what is born of God does not sin. Now tell me, how do you explain that? Aren't you born of God? Brother? You don't sin? Then I've got a headache. John said, he was born of God, does not sin. So how do you explain that? There are two kinds of explanation. First, only your spirit is born of God. John chapter 3 says, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. So at least within us, there's one part of us that does not sin. But it all depends on where you're living. Now there's another explanation. Some other people translate it like this. According to the Greek grammar, he who is born of God will not continue to sin. One who is not born again feels very comfortable in living in sin. But if you sin, do you feel good? Do you feel good if you do sin? You can't even sleep at night. You'll say, oh, next time I will do it again, right? Because there's a reaction within, in the life within. And your conscience would also react. You would turn back to God and confess your sin, right? And not sin again. Do not continue to sin. If you're wrong, do not continue to do wrong. If you do wrong and you do not repent, and you continue to sin or do wrong, it'll be very difficult for you to turn back later. But if you do something wrong and you repent right away, it's easier for you to turn back. But if you continue to do wrong, you do it once, twice, and thrice, and if you want to turn back, it will not be easy for you. That is why 1 John chapter 2 says,
my little children,
I write to you so that you will not sin. Because as Christians, if you live in the flesh, you will still sin. If your inner man is not strengthened, you will sin. So if you're not living in your spirit, the flesh will rise up again. But if you exercise to live in your spirit and act by the Spirit, and you will not sin. And John also says, the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Thank the Lord. May the Lord save us. God needs us to overcome the world. That's why what is born of God definitely overcomes the world. Now let's take a look. The whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. And Satan is called the prince and the ruler of this world. Look at the world, especially today, the world is really fallen. Wherever you're living, do not think that living in the U.S. is a good thing. Who is ruling in the U.S.? It's the devil that's ruling. The entire world. We're very naive. We can still live in this world. We don't care about many things. But the Bible says Satan is called the prince of this world. The prince of the power of the air. He's not ruling on earth, but also in the air. And much worse, in Colossians chapter 4, he's called the God of this world. Isn't Satan very powerful? Can you overcome him by yourself? No problem? Do not think that, oh, we're saved, born again, no more problems. Do not think that, oh, you're in the church, no more problems. No problems? Bigger problems. Is it a big problem or a smaller problem? Who's it bigger? It's really, they're really problems. He's a God of this world. He is reigning here in the world. So we need to be careful. Do not think that everything is okay. Do not think that the Satan, the devil, will let you do what you want to do. There's not only
the political world or the economic world, there's also the religious world. Sometimes religion is even worse. Look at the Middle East, the war in the Middle East. What is it all about? It's about religion. It's for that little plot of land in Jerusalem, they want to kill people. Besides, among us Christians, we fight a lot. Have you not had such experience? Have you not had that experience in Hong Kong? Perhaps you're better here. When I was very young, I was in the church in the Philippines. I was just graduating from high school. They had a big fight. When we young people saw them fighting, we all shed our tears. But then after we grew up, we served in the church, we saw fighting again. The brothers called me to go help a certain church, a certain place in the U.S. The leading brother there wanted to rule over the church. He said, "You are waiting to be kings in the millennial kingdom, but I want to be a king right now." Terrible. Do you want to be a king? Do you want to be a king in the church in Bangkok? You better be careful. We only have one king. Do you dare to replace him? Do you dare to be a king in the church? But if you or I am the king in the church in Bangkok, who is a king? Is it you? You know the answer. I don't want to say it. If I say it, you might think that I'm scolding you, and I'll have problems and I won't dare to come again. You know, when I went over to that place, those people that were for this brother says, "You dirty Chinese, what are you doing here? Go back to where you came from. Tell me." I was in the church, in the house of God. And those are Christians who say something like that. Tell me, who is speaking there? Is it the Lord speaking or the devil? So, "You dirty Chinese, what are you doing here? Go home." I thought he was going to beat me up. He was a big fellow. I just smiled at him and I said, "No, I just came here to have fellowship with you." Of course, there was no fellowship between us. Perhaps you have not had such an experience. Do you remember when I first came to Bangkok and then I wanted to stand up to say something? Besides, I did not stand up in a fierce way. I stood up and wanted to say something, smiling. Quite a few brothers stood up and started screaming and shouting. Do you remember this, Brother Lei? Remember? These are Christians. Besides, it's not in the denominations. It's in the meeting hall in Sukhumvit, the old meeting hall in Bangkok. So I sat down again. They were screaming and shouting. You remember that? Brother Virat, you remember? Oh, you were there too. I thought you're so young, you weren't there, but you were there too. Yeah. So I sat down. What should I do? I don't want to fight with them. And then when they saw that I sat down, they all sat down. And then one brother asked me, Brother John, what would you like to share? He says, I have nothing to say. What can I share? Actually, I did not need to share. Because the saints saw the actions there and everybody understood. Nothing needs to be said. So you see, brothers and sisters, how terrible or powerful Satan is. Sometimes we're too naive. Do not be utilized by Satan. That is also the world. That is also the world. Fighting for authority. What use is there to be fighting for power or authority? Well, just let them do it. Did the Lord Jesus fight with them? Tell me, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, in the end, who won? The Lord was victorious. He was victorious. Did he fight with them? He did not do anything. He just let them nail him to the cross. Would you use such a way, such method? If you were there, they are shouting there, and you shout even louder. If you cannot overcome them, you even need a loudspeaker. Use a bullhorn. I still remember. I'm telling too many stories. When there was trouble in the Philippines, there was a brother who had a pistol with him. Thinking, can you imagine bringing a gun along to the meeting? Would you bring a gun into the meeting? You have not yet seen something like that. Not in Thailand, right? Tell me, Christians can do something like that. Besides, they also hired 4 guards to guard the door with a big rifle there. In front of the meeting hall. A rifle. 4 of them. And holding photographs. Whoever comes in, we take a look. Lin Guangrong, you cannot come in. Oh, Dawa, Brother Dawa, you can't go in either. Brother Kihu, out. Oh, you can come in. Oh, you're not on. You're not one of these, pictures here. So you can go in. These are Christians. Brother Wang, have you ever seen something like this? It's good that you have not seen such things. One time I was kicked out. The church didn't want me anymore. That's fine. Thank the Lord. It's good enough if the Lord still wants me. If man does not want me, that's okay. When I went to a place in Canada where there was a church there, they heard that, oh, this brother is coming. On the Lord's Day, every car that came into the church's parking lot, there was somebody checking up. It's that so-and-so in that car. It's not dear brother so. They were so afraid of me. I'm sorry, even if they were to invite me, I wouldn't be going in there. Do I want to fight with them? Is it the case that if they don't want me there, I'll purposely go there? Brother Sandy, would you do that? Oh, they don't want you in there, so you purposely you fight your way in? Do not be like that. The Christians can be stirred up in the flesh and fight. Think about our Lord Jesus. He's seated there on the throne in heaven and looking at this thing. What are they doing down there? Do not think that Christians will not do something like this. This is the religious world. It has nothing to do with the Lord. It is not of Christ. That is nothing of the Lord. So you not only have to know the Lord Jesus, but you also have to know the devil, that the devil is quite powerful. It's quite terrible, and that he opposes the church. He wants to destroy the church. We should not be fooled. We should not be fooled. Now, if you don't want to be fooled, you need to know the Lord. Teachings and doctrines are useless. If you're in such a situation, I tell you, teachings are useless. Once the flesh is stirred up, you talk about teachings, it's totally useless. Thank the Lord. Our Lord Jesus is victorious. He overcame Satan. He overcame the world. He overcame all kinds of temptations, whether it's religious, the world. Satan said, I'll give the glory and the riches of the entire world to you. Just bow down and worship me. If someone were to give you $10 million, brother, what for? He's asking. What? Oh, I love you. It's deceiving you. I'm not loving you. I'm hurting or damaging you. In Chinese, the love and hurt, the I and I. Sound almost the same. Of course, someone will tell you, I'm not here to hurt you. It's because I love you. So as Christians, we should have the discernment. Do not believe everything. We only believe in the truth, and we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 John chapter 2 tells us that the anointing that in us is true and does not lie. It will not do false things. It is true. The anointing will not lie to you. And it will teach you in all things. Not only teach you to read the Bible, but it will teach you in all things. Now, it depends on you. When you're doing something, did you check with him? Or do you just go ahead and do it because you think it's a good thing? If that's the case, you have lost the opportunity to get to know the one who indwells you. That is why the glorious God works himself into us through the life that indwells us. If you read the Gospel of John, chapters 14 to chapter 16, the Holy Spirit came and would teach you all things, and he would lead you into all truth. And he will also declare unto you the things that are to come. Besides, he will receive many new things from the Lord and reveal it unto you. Also, he will not glorify himself, but he will glorify the Lord. Many times we do a lot of things and, oh, we just want to glorify ourselves. Oh, you did the bad things and the good things, I did them. Oh, dear brother. To call him, oh, dear brother. So, brothers and sisters, this is a manifestation of life. Thank the Lord. Our Lord overcame the world. You can read it for yourself. Chapter 4, verse 4. He who is in you, that is the Lord Jesus, is greater than he who is in the world. That's Satan. You can only overcome Satan through him who indwells you. It's through faith. And in chapter 5, it tells us the same thing. How can you overcome the world? That's the faith that indwells you. That is also what is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1. We have all received like precious faith. This faith is not yours. It didn't come from you, but it's what you have received from him. It's a faith of God. calls things not being into being and can raise the dead. Lord Jesus, our time is almost up. All that is in the world will pass away. If you read 2 Peter chapter 3, all things, everything will pass away. All that you have will pass away. John says, it's only he who does the will of God will remain forever. Only he who does the will of God will remain forever. All things will pass away. All things will pass away. So we have to be wise. He who does the will of God abides forever. 2 Peter 3:10 to 13. If the Lord gave you so many things, you have to just thank the Lord. But do not be covetous. Do not be greedy. Do not say, oh, I want more. What did Paul say in Timothy? To have clothing and to have food, what should you be? You should be content. Or do you want more? Do you want more? You still don't have enough to live on? Do you not have enough? You still need more? Do not think such a word from the Lord is not important. God's word is important in all aspects of your life. Because if we don't have such, if we do not learn in our daily living, then it becomes a big problem. You have to believe in our Heavenly Father that He would take care of you. But the Lord Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, be not anxious. Do not worry. Do not think what you're going to do, what you're going to eat tomorrow. What should you do? God knows. You have to trust in Him. You have to trust in Him. Believe and trust in Him. Otherwise, we'll be fooled. So in 1 John chapter 3, it also says, he who is born of God overcomes the world and does not sin. And we've spoken about that. Thank the Lord. We are born of God. But you have to know that for this life to grow, this life has to grow. If you do not grow and you remain a babe spiritually, do not think that as Christians it's enough if we have life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, and he also mentioned it in Ephesians chapter 4, do not be a babe in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5, he said the same thing. It's been so long, yet you still need, for so many years, you still need to drink milk. You are still babes in Christ. This is a big problem for many Christians. Do not think that you have gathered a lot of knowledge that you have grown. Knowledge only puffs up. You think that you know a lot, then it's good enough. That's great. If you read 2 Peter chapter 1, if you have faith, you still have to add virtue, and you add the self-control, perseverance, and then you also just need patience, and then you also need and you need to have love, and then also you have to have the love of God. In the end, you become the Pope. Don't be the Pope. The highest point of growth in spiritual life is the love of God. If you attain that, you've graduated. The brothers will give you a diploma that, oh, you've graduated. It's not that you know how to give messages and you know a lot of, about the Bible, but it's that you love the brethren. Do not think that if you write a lot of books, oh, then you're very great. You've got a PhD in PhD in theology, a doctor of theology. No. You need to have love. Spiritual growth at the highest degree. The last 2 points Peter mentioned is the love of the brethren, and even higher is the love of God. When the Lord comes, we all need to grow to this extent. Then we have reached maturity. Thank the Lord. Time's up. You can read it for yourself. Thank the Lord.